Today, and starting in 1 Kings chapter 19, I want to see two mantles. And the challenge today is we must pick up the mantle. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? We heard yesterday, God doesn't ask questions because he doesn't know. He asks questions to bring conviction. Verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and behold, a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he again answers the same way he did before. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of I'm not going to try the name. I had it before, but I can't get it now. Shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. The text here, it's coming off the context of Elijah has just been up on Mount Carmel. He has just slain the 480 prophets of Baal. And he gets a message from wonderful Queen Jezebel saying, the same to me if I don't have your head by the end of the night or by this time tomorrow. Can you imagine the fear that would run through you? So what he does, he runs. We all know the story. He runs away from her. As he runs, he comes into the wilderness, a day's journey. He's met there by an angel who gives him food twice. He gets sleep. Wonderful sleep. But not during chapel. He gets sleep. He gets food. And in that, the strength of that sleep and food, he goes 40 days. And this is what follows that 40 days. This is at the end of the 40 days. He's commanded of what he's to do. He's supposed to anoint two kings. And he's supposed to anoint Elisha to be prophet in his room, or prophet after him. So we see the preparation for the call. He was staying put. He was waiting for God. Fasting and prayer. He was in the cave, fasting and praying. We see that in verse 10. And then God revealed himself to Elijah in verses 11 through 13. And these great things, a wind that rends the mountains, an earthquake, a fire. But those are just preparatory for God. We don't see God until we see the still small voice. And it's not until we listen for the still small voice that we will see and hear and know the will of God. It's that still small voice. Not in a great moving of a mountain. The preparation for the call. Now the prescription of the call. We've already read this. He was commanded to anoint Hazael and Jehu as kings. If you think about this, think of who he's... I mean, he just had a run-in with Jezebel, the queen. But yet God still cared enough to give a command to anoint the next king for both Israel and Judah. He cared enough to anoint the next king. the heart of the king is in the hand of God. Even when we don't understand, it's there. And then the presentation of the call, verses 19 through 21. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he rose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Having been here in the last 2.5 years, I've been in Pastor Cummins' church over at Tri-City. And one of his things, he says it here often, he says it there often. Read with imagination. But for those of us who've grown up in the TV age, sometimes it helps to see it more than just imagine it. And so this morning I've asked Matt to help me. I'm going to come down there because that's a little bit of a drop. But okay, Matt, you're plowing in the field. And that's about it. And Elijah, all he does, he comes up and walks away.
Wait. You can't leave. Yeah, wait. I got to go back and tell my family bye. I got to go tell them bye. Then I'll come follow you.
Okay.
But wait right here. Wait for me. I'll be right back.
Okay, I'll wait. And he goes back and tells his family goodbye. As he tells his family goodbye, he burns the ties behind him. Literally burns them. He takes the instruments he used to plow with, the plow, the harnesses, the yoke he uses on the oxen. He takes those instruments and uses them as the fuel to cook his oxen. There's nothing for him to go back to. There's nothing. He has no way he can go back to plowing now. He's killed his oxen. He's used the instruments he used to plow the field with to cook them. He's burned that tie behind him. One interesting side note here is Elisha was in the field. He was plowing. He was plowing in the field. He was working. We read later on, and we'll get to that in a minute, but there's a thing called the School of Prophets. He wasn't in the School of the Prophets. Now, understand me here. I am in Bible college. I'm almost graduated from Bible college. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's wonderful training. It's wonderful experience. But as we get out there, there's going to be people who we run into who have not had Bible college. And notice who God used over those who are in the School of the Prophets. He used the one who was working in the field. Just remember that as we go out. We all need to remember that. You say, wait a second. Didn't Jesus in the New Testament say over in Luke, one comes to him and says, another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house." And Jesus said unto them, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, what's the difference between here and when Jesus says? Why is it acceptable here for Elisha to go bid farewell to his family, but we get to the New Testament and Christ says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and turning back is fit for the kingdom of God"? The difference I would propose to you is not in what they were doing, but the attitude behind what they were doing. Elisha did it so he could say, "Okay, family, I've been called to be a prophet. And I want to show you that. I'm going to show you that, but we're going to have a feast. We're going to have this wonderful side of oxen. Probably out there in the smoke pit." Oh, yes, barbecue. Good stuff. I've been in the South too long. But they had the oxen. And he used that as basically, "I'm leaving. this is what God's called me to do. I'm going to go do it. In Luke, the account is more of, well, I can't stand to leave my family. I need to go back in my family. That's my comfort zone. That's where I'm comfortable. That's where I want to be. It's not, I need to go tell them bye so I can come join the ministry. It's, I need to go be with them. I don't want to lose them. I don't want to sever that tie. We sing so often, sever any tie, save the tie that binds me to thy heart. But are you really willing to do that? So we've seen the first mantle. And we saw it come in just a couple times there. The second mantle in 2 Kings chapter 2. If you turn there with me. 2 Kings chapter 2. And it's a rather lengthy passage, but I think it's well worth reading because we get some very great truth out of it. 2 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah in heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, as I mentioned before, the sons of the prophets. Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And again the sons of the prophets. And again he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him again, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me unto Jordan. And Elisha answers again, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the water, and they were divided hither and thither, so they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass that they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask me what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So they're walking along, and Elijah knows it's time for him to go home. His time has come to move on to heaven, to move on to his final home. And Elisha knows this too, and he goes with him. He wants to get everything he can from Elijah. They're walking to these places. They're walking to Bethel. They're walking to Jericho. They're walking to Jordan. They're spending time together. They're talking. Elisha is gleaning as much information as he possibly can from Elijah, getting as much knowledge as he possibly can soak up about the Word of God. And they come to the River Jordan, and he takes that same mantle. I surmise it to be the same mantle. We don't know that for sure. He balls it up and hits the ground with it, and the water splits. And they walk over on dry ground. Okay, he's the man of God. That's not impossible. I mean, we look at Moses in the Red Sea. We have all these different examples of when God split water apart, people walked across it and dry ground. What's so impressive about that? Well, as you come down through it, you read that Elisha asked for a double portion of his spear. We'll get back to this in a second. It's too heavy to hang on to. He asked for a double portion of his spear, and it was given to him if he would see him be taken from him. And we read that in verse 12. And Elisha saw it, Elijah being taken from him, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. and he saw him no more. And he took of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. I'm not going to demonstrate that for you. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So he went from seeing Elijah hold the mantle to now he's picked up that mantle that dropped as he's taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And this time, as he crosses back over, he hits the water, and the waters part. Now it's gone from the faith of Elijah, the works that God had for Elijah, to the works that God had for Elisha. That mantle had been transferred. The power of God was now on Elisha's ministry. As we read down through the remainder of Kings, 2 Kings, and also in comparison with 2 Chronicles, we see all that Elisha did. And everything we have recorded about Elijah, Elisha did twice. Everything. He received that double portion that he asked for. But it's interesting, he asked the question, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" as he smote the water. We sit here in classes, in chapel. We see men of God. We sit under the men of God. We learn from them. When are we going to start asking, "Where is the Lord God of Dr. Comfort, Pastor Cummins, Dr. Childs, Pastor Camp, Mr. Johnston, Pastor Surrett? Where is the Lord God of these men? Where is He in my life?" They talk of these things they've done. For evangelist majors, Dr. Comfort, he talks of the meetings he's had. He talks of the services he's had. Pastoral majors, you've got what the pastors have done, and they talk about their pastorates. They talk about their ministries. Music, you have Dr. Scoville as an excellent example. For you ladies, Mrs. Comfort. The pastors' wives. You have so many examples to look to. And they're just holding that mantle out. They're so willing. If there's one thing I've found, and unfortunately I have not taken full advantage of it, and this is to my shame, but they're willing to take the time. Hebrews chapter 12. With this I'm finished. But Hebrews chapter 12. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." There's a great cloud of witnesses. The men I just mentioned, the men who have come and preached from this platform, your pastor back home, your parents. It's not true for everyone, but if you have good parents, if you have a good pastor back home, they've got that mantle just waiting for you. So this morning I ask you the question, are you going to pick up your mantle? It's there.